Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the crowds, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." The Gospel of the Lord. Dear sisters, it is good to be back with you this evening and to gather once again in the name of Jesus. We are here to invoke the Holy Spirit and to consecrate ourselves to him and to entrust to him all our work during these days as well as our whole lives. To do this, we acknowledge the place of the Holy Spirit in the Most Blessed Trinity as the love of the Father and the Son. We ask this evening that Jesus pour out the Holy Spirit upon us, just as he poured out the Spirit at Pentecost, but even before that, at the moment of his death on Calvary. We remember that the whole work of Jesus consists in communicating the Holy Spirit to the church. Jesus had to die in order that the Spirit would come. Jesus' death was his glorification, and the gospel tells us that Jesus had to be glorified through death before the Holy Spirit descended. And so, at the very moment of the death of Jesus, the Holy Spirit presided over the birth of the church as she came forth from the pierced side of the new Adam. This first great outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Good Friday beautifully anticipated the fuller manifestation of his coming on Pentecost. What is so important to realize is that just as the role of Jesus is to communicate the Holy Spirit to the church, so the role of the Holy Spirit is to form Jesus in the members of the church. And just as there could be no Holy Spirit in the church until Jesus was glorified in death, his death being the great act of our redemption accomplished by Jesus according to the will of the Father and through the work of the Holy Spirit, so there can be no Eucharist, which is the sacramental renewal of Jesus' death, without the action of the Holy Spirit. How beautifully we are reminded in our first reading from the letter to the Hebrews that it was through the eternal Spirit that Jesus offered himself unblemished to God on Calvary. Only through the same eternal Spirit can the Eucharistic action perpetuating the sacrifice of Calvary be enacted. The Savior's greatest act of love offered on Calvary and renewed on our altars cannot be understood without an acknowledgement of the role in it of the Spirit of love, the Holy Spirit of God. The priest's prayer before communion in the Mass expresses the completeness of Trinitarian redemption, saying, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, by the will of the Father and the work of the Holy Spirit, your death brought life to the world. By your holy body and blood, free me from all my sins and from every evil. In all of this, we must realize that Jesus lived and died in order to communicate the Spirit. Remember his succinct words, Expedit enim vobis ut ego vadam. He says, it is expedient for you, it is advantageous for you that I go. For if I do not go, the Paraclete will not come. And when he comes, he will lead you to all truth. And since Jesus himself is the fullness of truth, the Spirit's role is, once again, to form Jesus in us. In this context, dear sisters, of this intimate relation between the Holy Spirit and Jesus in the depths of Trinitarian love and life, I thought that an appropriate reflection during this votive Mass of the Holy Spirit could fittingly touch upon the Eucharistic mystery and the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. How many martyrs and other saints throughout the ages, as well as committed faithful Catholics, including numberless consecrated religious, have been ravished under the action of the Holy Spirit by the beauty of this truth, proclaimed by Jesus himself and transmitted by the powerful action of the Holy Spirit from generation to generation. Let us now, for a few moments, open our hearts to reaffirm in faith and love the truth that the truth about himself that Jesus speaks to us in the Holy Spirit. Surely none of us needs to be convinced again about the truth of the real presence of Jesus brought about through the eternal Spirit in the Eucharistic action of the Mass and prolonged in Eucharistic adoration, during which we offer latria to Christ. Latria meaning the degree of worship that is owing only to the living God. This is where our faith leads us. What a privilege is ours as Catholics to embrace the full meaning of the words of Jesus when he tells us that is, the words which he tells us are spirit and truth, spirit and life. And so we assent now, repeatedly, to what Jesus said to the Jews as the culmination of a long discourse on faith and the need to accept him as a person. If any one of us was ever tempted, as some people were that day, to minimize the import of Jesus' words or to interpret them in a sense other than the literal sense Jesus now offers us in the gospel, in the holy word of God, an opportunity to listen to his eightfold explanation and to accept his person and his truth. For our benefit and the benefit of the world, Jesus says, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever." A second time, he repeats this truth, "And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." But then Jesus is challenged by the crowd. "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus does not try to explain the how. What is at stake is rather the acceptance or not of his divine person and his two natures. He is true God and true man. He can neither deceive nor be deceived. And so a third time, Jesus confirms the meaning of his words, saying, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you." And for those who have not yet understood, he repeats for a fourth time that he is giving his own flesh and blood, and that with them he is giving eternal life. He says, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." For a fifth time, Jesus clarifies his statement and reveals everlasting truth, saying, "For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink." For a sixth time, he appeals for acceptance to the crowd and to all subsequent generations of humanity, saying, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him." And now, at this seventh repetition, comes the solemn moment when Jesus invokes the witness of the Father and the truth of the Most Blessed Trinity. He says so solemnly, "As the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me." And then an eighth time, Jesus offers the fullness of truth to those who listened to him that day, as he identifies himself as the bread that came down from heaven. And in this final declaration, Jesus spells out the importance for all people of all times of accepting his truth, because, as he says, "Whoever eats this bread will live forever." At this point, dear sisters, we remember that it is the role of the Holy Spirit to form Jesus in us and to enable us to say, "Jesus is Lord," to enable us to accept the truth of Jesus present in the Blessed Sacrament, and to give him the worship that is owing only to the living God. We have been together on other occasions, dear sisters, to invoke the Holy Spirit and to extol the action, His action in the church and in our religious communities as well. Last year, we were together at the Eucharistic Congress in Washington, D.C., to speak about Christ's sacrifice of enduring love. You remember the theme, the sacrifice that was primarily motivated by the love of Jesus for his Father. On this occasion, tonight, we reflect how it was, in the expression of the author to the Hebrews, how it was through the eternal Spirit that Christ offered himself unblemished to God and through his precious blood cleansed our conscience from dead works to worship the living God. And this worship that we offer in the Eucharist is, like the sacrifice of Calvary, accomplished under the powerful but gentle action of the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified. In concluding, I ask you in the name of the Church to guard and pass on ever more effectively the rich traditions of your community's Eucharistic devotion, as well as a splendid practice of Trinitarian prayer that, in the power of the Holy Spirit, is addressed to the Father at the command of Jesus and in his name. Finally, dear sisters, may the Holy Spirit of God, who presided over creation and redemption and the birth of the church, envelop you in the deep joy of authentic, generous, Eucharistic, and Trinitarian consecrated life, lived always in union with our Blessed Mother Mary. Amen.